We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we started talking about it's time for your examination. This is something that this time of year a lot of people go through reflection. In fact, a lot of people have their annual checkups with their doctor, and their doctor might say, well, you need to lose weight, or you need to really bring your blood pressure down, you need to make some dietary changes, or take this medication. A lot of people start thinking about, well, you know, should I exercise more? Should I lose weight? Should I change my diet? But there's other areas. People are focusing on financial, their financial fitness as well, and their relational fitness. And really, we should also be focusing on our spiritual health. In fact, our spiritual health is more important than any. And if we're healthy spiritually, it can positively impact all of the other ways. But last week we talked about really examining our physical. We talked about our physical examination and how important it is to make sure that we are doing what we need to do, that we're taking steps so that we can be as healthy as possible. I believe, and I want to be as healthy as possible so that I can accomplish as much for God as God wants me to accomplish. I don't want to be held back because I'm sick or because I'm tired or because I'm run down, because I don't have enough energy, or because I'm spending so much time at the doctor's office. I want to be healthy even in my latter years to be able to serve God. We also talked about setting our priorities right and realizing that we should seek first the kingdom of God. And we talked about making things right financially, whether that's cutting back in our spending or paying down debt or working harder or working smarter, maybe gaining extra skill sets that we didn't have before so that we can be more marketable. Just being diligent in our work and going above and beyond and doing what we're doing as unto the Lord and allowing God to bless us through that. So we talked about that, and today we're going to look at our relational examination as well as our spiritual examination and look at developing a biblical worldview and applying the Bible to all areas of life, including to government. So when we look at relationships, sometimes people say, well, things would be a lot easier if we didn't have people in this world. And certainly, if you could make your own decisions and you could do everything yourself, then to a certain extent, things would be easier. You wouldn't have to work with differences of opinion and differences of viewpoints. But God has set us here in community. And in fact, He has set us here and He has equipped us in such a way that no one person can actually do everything. We need other people. And in fact, we obviously need other people to reproduce. You can't have, if you just had one person, you wouldn't have, the way God has created us, you wouldn't have offspring. You wouldn't have a next generation. And we are very different from each other. And especially when we look at members of the opposite sex, which husbands and wives are, the way God has designed it, there is to be one man and one woman, joined in matrimony, holy matrimony, until death do them part. But boy, men and women are very, very, very different. And we see things differently, and we look at things differently, and we think differently. Our minds, our brains actually work differently. And this is, by the way, it's not just something that people say. It's actually a biological, physical fact. There's actually something that happens in the womb to males, to biological males. We know that we have a right brain and a left brain. Well, they start out joined together. And for women, they stay joined together. But for boys or men, what happens is you actually have a testosterone bath that comes across the brain that actually separates the two hemispheres, which is why men are able to focus on one single thing, and sometimes our wives may be right next to us talking to us and we don't even hear them. But women don't have that, so women could actually be making food or folding laundry and hear their baby crying across the house and know that, and immediately they spring into action and go and offer the care that child needs. So we are different. We are created differently. Those differences make it difficult for us, but they also are a call for us to die to ourselves, to serve one another. And we need to actually look at what the Bible says about our relational experiences and our relational health. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." How will people know that we are disciples of Christ? Well, because we look a certain way, because we carry, maybe we dress a certain way, or we say certain things, we talk with certain lingo, certain Christian lingo. Hey, brother, hey, sister. No, it's because we love one another. So let me just ask you to examine yourself. If people were to look at you, if someone were to look at you that doesn't know you, and maybe even to examine how you treat your wife or how you treat your husband, how would they see the love of Jesus Christ working in you? Would they see the love for your spouse working in you? If not, there's some changes that need to happen, and those changes start with you humbling yourself, praying, asking God to move on behalf of, on your heart, to make you better, to make you love more. And you might say, well, you know, but my spouse doesn't do what they're supposed to do. Well, God isn't going to hold you accountable for what your spouse does. He's going to hold you accountable for what you do. And so we need to do our part, and we need to humble ourselves and to love each other. And in Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 18, we read, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And here we see specific instructions to wives, also to husbands, to children, and to fathers. And we see the wives submitting themselves to their husbands, the husbands loving their wives and not being bitter toward them, not having resentment, the children obeying their parents, and the fathers in particular not provoking their children to wrath, using a little bit of compassion along with that stern discipline that men can so easily administer. We need to make sure that we are tempering that with compassion, with gentleness as well. And One of the passages in the Bible that talks so well about relational health is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And in this passage, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. We'll see really a high measure, the high measure that God sets for love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And boy, this is a high mark. Not envying, not parading oneself, not being prideful and lifted up and saying, look at me, not being puffed up, not behaving rudely. Boy, it's so easy to behave rudely, to just snap, to get angry, to not be patient. Does not seek its own. In other words, you're not seeking your best. You're not seeking what you want. You're seeking what your spouse wants. Seeking what your children want. Obviously, with the boundary of making sure that they are getting what they need. Is not provoked. So imagine that. Boy, sometimes we fly off the handle and say, well, that's because of the way the other person acted. Well, actually, we should be not provoked. And thinks no evil. So we should actually not assume evil intent. A lot of times people assume evil intent. We need to talk and discuss and see what the person's real intent was. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. So we should not rejoice in wickedness, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things. In other words, when you're wronged, you still bear that. You still continue on. Believes all things. Believes that things are going to get better and that God is at work in your relationship. Hopes all things and endures all things. So many times people, it might be your socks on the floor or the dirty dishes or not doing this or not doing that. So many times we don't want to endure. We don't want to love one another. One of the things that I've realized, and it took a number of years to realize this, but whenever I come into a circumstance where I have a situation where I'm upset over what happened, I have a choice to either try to require my wife to do what I want her to do, or to love her and to show that love by doing what, really even doing what I would want her to do that instead. And this happens in our house. Sometimes my wife is not as neat as me in some things. And so when I prepare food, I like the bar to be clean. And I clean it, really, a lot of times. I clean it after I'm done, definitely. But then I'll come back the next time I want to prepare food, and it's dirty again. And so I have to prepare it, clean it again. And so I have a choice. Do I yell at her? Do I get mad? Do I get upset? Or do I show love? Do I exemplify this love that God is talking about here and clean the bar out of love for my wife? And certainly I can berate her, I can get mad at her, I can get angry, I can yell, I can scream. She might even say that she's going to clean it, but you know what? She probably won't. So I have an opportunity to either get mad, to get angry, or to love her and to clean it myself. Even if that means cleaning it twice, before and after, that's what God requires of me. And we do need to have a spiritual examination. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So here we see asking God to move, asking God to actually examine us. And we should do this. We should ask God, God, examine me. Is there any wicked way in me? What do I need to do? How do I need to change? How do I need to be more like you and less like myself? God also wants us to examine ourselves. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will not be, that I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So we see, and we see this quite often, the sovereignty of God and salvation. We also see our personal responsibility. And one of the things we've talked about is many people believe one or the other. And really, what is necessary is both. Both are really necessary. We need to do our part, which is examining ourselves, not just to assume, well, because I went to church this morning, or because I said my prayers, or because I read my Bible, because I said a prayer at one point and was baptized, that I'm in the faith. No, examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Don't just assume. Test yourself. And know, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Make sure. And Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So this is really phenomenal here. We're talking about the call and election of God and on us, on our lives. So we're talking about God's sovereignty. We can't change whether God has called us or whether God has elected us. But he's saying here, make your call and election sure. So here we see our personal responsibility joined with God's sovereignty in salvation. And we see here that if we do these things, we'll never stumble. And an entrance will be supplied to us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here we see that there is a personal responsibility. We are responsible to examine ourselves, to make our call and election sure, to bow before the throne of Christ, to make sure that we are in the faith, to make sure that we are doing what God has required of us. And if we do these things, we will never stumble. We will never faint. God will move in us and through us to bring us to our intended ultimate goal, which is to spend eternity with him in heaven instead of spending eternity in hell. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, we read, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So here you see God's sovereignty with our personal responsibility coupled together, working together to make sure that we are in the faith. So we see here God working in us, willing in us, and doing in us for good, but we also see that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, realizing that God is a holy God, realizing that if His blood, if the blood of Jesus Christ is not applied to our lives, if His blood hasn't covered our sins, that we deserve death, we deserve hell. That is our wages, it is our just wages, and God will be justified when He sends us there. So it is important that we make sure that we are in the faith, that we make sure that His blood has been applied to our lives, that we cry out to Him and examine ourselves. And by the way, this is not something that should be done once a year. This is something that we should do daily. This is something that we should do on a regular basis. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, we see, "But let each one examine his own works, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So we're to examine our works. They're the fruit of our salvation, and make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do. In Psalm 19, beginning of verse 7, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is good reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So here we see again God's sovereignty and our personal responsibility. God being perfect, converting the soul, His testimonies, which are what? His word, actually making simple people wise, His statutes rejoicing the heart, His commandments being pure and enlightening our eyes, His fear being clean and enduring forever, His judgments being true and righteous, and we should desire all of these more than we desire gold, more than we desire wealth, more than we desire riches, and even more than we desire sweet food as well. And when we keep these commandments, we're warned, and we have a great reward. And he goes on then to pray that God would cleanse him from secret faults and would keep him back from presumptuous sins, and not to let them, the presumptuous sins, have dominion over him. And to make the meditations of the heart, the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart, be acceptable in his sight. And by the way, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. He also said out of the abundance of your heart come actions. So your meditations, what you're thinking about, if you're thinking about the Word of God, those four-letter words aren't going to be coming out of your mouth because they aren't in your heart. You've been meditating on the Word of God, but if you're constantly watching television shows, watching movies, or hanging around people and even engaging in four-letter words, well, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Those four-letter words. It is vitally important that we meditate on God's Word. In Psalm 19, verses 9 and also 104 through 106, we read, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your judgment. So here we see the word of God being used to help us resist temptation, meditating on the word of God, and really reading the word of God, memorizing it, thinking about it, pondering upon it, and developing a biblical worldview, a worldview that actually is shaped based on what God says in his word, as opposed to what you believe is right, as opposed to what someone else believes is right, as opposed to what a politician or an actor or an actress or a singer thinks is right. Look at the word of God and look at what God says and allow God to shape your view. And let me tell you something, that's not going to happen unless you read the word. You need to get into the Bible. You need to read it. The Bible says, Jesus said, we need to abide in his word. And if we abide in his word, we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free from our sins. But many Christians spend more time, in fact, the majority of Christians spend more time and are more influenced in their thinking by what they read, what they watch on television or in the movies, the songs that they listen to, than they are on the word of God. We need to apply God's word and read God's word, abide in it, and allow his word to cleanse us and develop that biblical worldview. And that's only going to happen when you get into the word. And also, we need to apply it to every area of life, including our cities, our states, our nation, and really all the nations of the world, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the Bible says there's coming a day when the coastlands will wait for his law, and when the islands, with the multitudes of the islands, will lift up their voices in praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.